Blog Talk Radio.
Live on the Middleman Talk Show on blogtalkradio.com, and I'm Alan.
It's Kevin.
This is Nick.
And this is Jim.
Man, I sound like he ran out the gate, like he shot out the gate like he was at Usain Bolt.
I started lying too fast.
Nah, ain't nothing wrong with you starting too fast. I'm saying the energy, man. You was like Usain Bolt.
Yeah, but he got disqualified this year, too. I did.
He surely did. He probably went back and smoked some weed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Interesting weekend. Great weekend. How's everybody doing?
Doing great.
Pretty good, man. I can't complain. I can't complain at all. My Saints didn't win the other day, but that's okay. That's all right.
Well, at least one of our team hopefully may win. My team play tomorrow. So, you know, I understand your pain. You know.
We ain't even going to talk about the team that I go for.
Who, DeVry?
DeVry.
Damn.
That is so funny, man. Look, man, y'all ain't going to put down my Indianapolis Colts. We have some problems right now, but it's cool.
Mm-hmm. I like the Colts. They're cool. They're all right, but you know,
it's
what it is. Anyway, they lost bad to Houston. I'm just saying.
They did. I can't even say nothing about that at all. What? Bad to Houston. God almighty. I'm not even tripping, man. I knew this was not going to be probably a good year starting off for us, but it's cool, though. It's cool, though.
And man, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Yeah, that's right. That's why
just
they started
just act
off.
Just act the Falcons last season.
Right. Oh, man, it's some people that's down with the Falcons right now, probably about to lose their mind.
Yeah, they lost already. Yeah.
They probably about to smoke crack and everything. They should have killed Michael Vick. Somebody told me they wouldn't have mattered anyway, but, you know, it's all good. Shouts out to everybody that's over there on the web chat, BlackMan37. Everybody that's listening on the internet, hey, thank you for tuning in today.
All right.
Yes. So what's going on, y'all? Y'all acting like we've been on the hiatus. Last week we had a good show, man. Great show with our man, Carl Thomas. Jen, we thought you was a Carl Thomas fan. Where were you?
I was. I was
Jen
really
called in
tonight
at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, and I was a little bit late, so I apologize.
A little bit late? That's like 3 hours.
The show's off, Jen.
I know. I apologize.
You missed him talking about his barbecue and everything. You missed Kev issuing out a challenge. Carl Thomas.
I surely did. Talking about he over there, talking about he can cook. I don't want to hear that homeboy.
He probably can't. He's probably a man of many talents.
Well, I am too. And I'm just saying though, I he was talking hard, cold cash. Just talking
hard.
What
he said now. I'm not going for the past call, man. He got roots from Mississippi, man. So he can cook.
See, that's
ain't gonna
difference.
Put the past on,
man. Hey, he got roots from Mississippi.
I'm not going for the past. Look, man.
I'm just saying.
I got roots on TNT the other night.
I got roots too. I'm saying, man. I'm just saying, man. He got roots. I am the Silks. So it don't matter to me.
Damn.
Y'all make sure y'all go back and check out that show. All the smack we was talking at the end of the show, especially, I know y'all want to hear that. So make sure y'all go back and check that out. Definitely. We're going to see if we can get that featured on Blog Talk Radio so we can get more people to entertain that show. We'll make sure that happens.
Yeah.
What's been going on in the political world, y'all? You know, we had our president had his big speech this weekend. What do y'all think about it? Everybody trying to say that it was the same old thing. I like the energy, but I'm not trying to be funny, y'all. But is it just me, or do the president sound like The Rock when he's talking?
I think that he tries to come from a place where, you know, people are, his approval rating is down. People in the country are, you know, saddened and discouraged. And I think he's just trying to pump people up and let them know that everything will be okay. And, you know, people are losing faith in him, and it just, it saddens me. Today, as we all know, today is the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks that happened in Washington, D.C., and in Pennsylvania, and in New York. And there was a unity that happened in our country when that happened. You know, they were talking about that on the news today about how our country unified. You know, everybody was flying flags. And even the people that didn't like Bush, you know, people across the board were unified, and we just wanted a better America. And where is that? Where is that unity? Is, you know, is it at the cost of just not liking Barack Obama that unity and patriotism, you know, just goes down the drain? I think it's sad. It's sad, and I think it's just disrespectful to the memory of not just the people that died in 9/11, but the people that have passed away for the numerous causes for the betterment of our country.
Mm-hmm. Well, I made a promise today, and we start talking about 9/11, I ain't going to say nothing. So I'm not going to.
Yeah, me too, because I may say something that, I don't know, have people.
Look, we don't have time for no government FBI to be calling me, asking me no questions about y'all.
Well,
I don't really
want to
deal with that.
Well, we ain't saying that, man. We ain't going to say nothing, but one thing I can agree with is that the hate must stop. I don't care what they look at, like with President Obama. I'm not a maniac, and you know how people consider themselves fans or whatever the case may be of these particular politicians now. I look at it like this. How can you be a fan of a politician? They're either going to do their job or not do their job. The biggest part of it is you got these Republicans and Democrats. They're not doing their job, period. I don't care. Across the board, they ain't doing their job because people don't have jobs. That's the main thing. And they won't sit up there and talk all that crap. Just like the gentleman that I found out that was sitting next to Michelle doing a speech. He was over GE, the aeronautical department that they had. He was over there. You know, they're sending all their jobs to China. So how dare you be there talking about you supporting the president and you still sending jobs overseas?
And if you look at behind the president when he was speaking, if you look at the discord and the disgust in some of the people's faces, I think it's quite frankly disrespectful. I wasn't a big Bush fan, but I did at the time when Bush was in office say, we don't go against our leader. We don't, you know, bash our leader to other people. We have to stand behind them. And it's people that are refuse to call President Obama president. They refuse
I'm
to
so
call
tired
him
of that right there.
It's disrespectful.
Yeah.
Let me say this about the whole thing about unemployment and everything. Everybody's saying unemployment is at an all-time high and this and that. And you know what? That's fine. You know, the numbers don't lie. But let me just let me make something real clear. Because it seems like now that's the thing to get on President Obama about is the whole employment thing. Some of y'all lazy behinds didn't want or have jobs before he got
there.
Some of y'all just don't want to work. So don't sit there and try to say now, oh, President Obama's in office, I ain't going to get... No, y'all was lazy before then, way before then. Thank you, Nick.
A lot of people, I've had someone approach me. You know, a lot of people, if you know me, you know that I was really involved with the Barack Obama campaign, and, you know, and people have come up to me and was like, where are the jobs at? I thought you said it was going to be some jobs. And it was like, it's jobs out there. You have to continue to look. They may not be the jobs that you want. We might, you know, or we're waiting on the country to produce more, but you have to know that there are jobs out there being created. You just have to work for them.
Yeah, but you know, the thing what they're doing, though, I don't care what nobody say, they're going to hold these jobs until this man get up out of office, and that's when they're going to try to show, like, you know, we done came in like Mighty Mouse and saved the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they're going to do, and that's obvious. Or, and I'm about to get on my conspiracy thing, and then we can go ahead and get into what the subject of the day is, but this is my conspiracy thing right here. They want everybody to be poor. They want everybody to have, they want the have-nots to really have nothing.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And when it get to that point right there, you can easily control the population, because if food is getting scarce and people can't, I mean, they want Mad Max Beyond Thunder, the Mad Max movie. They want that in real life. All these apocalyptic, if that's the word, I'm saying it right, they want those scenarios to happen. And that seems like that's what they're shooting for. They want us to be out there with rubber arm plates and spikes in our hair. They want that crap.
And riding motorbikes.
Well, we'll see. But on to today, man. What we got going on here, Mr. Allen?
Well, I always got to introduce the show. But anyway, title of today's subject, of course, are you really what you eat? And if you look at today, you know, we're going to discuss nutrition in minority communities. You know, fast food companies have taught 15% of our preschoolers to do what? To ask for McDonald's every day and convince some of our teens to consume as many as 1,100 calories in a single meal. Now, minority children are disproportionately targeted by ads with McDonald's and KFC, taking the leading target of African-American youth with TV advertising, dedicated, you know, the website, and also banner ads. Such ads feature foods that contain twice as many calories as ads aimed at white children. And African-American children see at least 50% more fast food ads than their white peers. Over the last decade, America has tried to put some type of spotlight on the health food choices, but the thing is, are minorities being left out of this fight? How can we make sure that our children are making healthier food choices? And if we continue down this path of a unhealthy living cycle, what does this mean for our future? So, hey,
I mean, we got a lot to cover today, buddy.
Oh yeah.
I'm down. I'm ready for this. I am so excited and ready for this today. Matter of fact, we're gonna go ahead and go into this little clip that we got for you guys today, man. And y'all pay attention to this, and hopefully we can resolve some of these issues that we have in our community, or either have the mind state to understand what's going on in our community. Y'all check this out. You are listening to the Middleman Talk Show on the Blog Talk Radio.
So right after you eat these meals, you have energy. But the energy lasts a very short period of time. And you're hungry much sooner. And then you have to eat again. And then you have to eat again. And then you have to eat again.
It is a lot cheaper to go eat fast food. I mean, it definitely, you can buy a hamburger for cheaper than you can buy an apple.
That's very sad, because you're telling me I have to pay more in order to eat healthier. But I can pay less in order to get fat and to make you rich, or for something that I might die off of.
It's unbelievable.
The poorest people in our country are the fattest people. We've done something completely wrong here.
Consider the facts. Two out of every three Americans are overweight. And that number is expected to rise to three out of four by 2020. The United States is the world's fattest developed nation, with an obesity rate double of that in many European countries. One in three Americans is expected to have diabetes by 2050. Minorities have been even more profoundly affected. Blacks have a 50% higher prevalence of obesity, and Hispanics 25% higher when compared with whites. So how did it get this way?
Obesity rates have been going up very rapidly in the United States, but really only since about 1980. Before that, they were constant for decades. A change in the way our federal agriculture policy worked, which went from paying farmers not to grow food to paying farmers to grow as much food as they possibly could. And the result of that was an enormous increase in the amount of food available in the country for consumption.
American food policy doesn't happen in isolation. There are many moving parts that make up a complex puzzle. Large government agencies, multinational corporations, and of course lobbyists who try to shape the country's food policy as it comes out of Washington.
For government to try to force changes, to dictate to consumers in a free society what they do is there's not a good record of that being successful.
All of this goes back to Congress. And if you want to do something about public health in America, what you really need to do is to change election campaign laws so that these big corporations aren't paying for congressional elections. That's the source of corruption in American government.
All right, that was a clip right there dealing with obesity and also the epidemic what we're dealing with in America with obesity and also our nutrition. What's going on, y'all? I see we, Nick, go ahead and take it, sir.
Yes, sir. We actually have someone that can come in and speak on this a little bit better from a professional side than we can. If I'm not mistaken, we have him on the line, Dr. Reed.
Yeah, I'm here, brother. How you doing?
How you doing, man? Everyone, Dr. Jamie Reed, why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of your background, tell us what you're talking about today.
All right, my name is Dr. Jamie Reed. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I actually went to college with Nick at Alabama State University. I'm a former United States Army medic. I'm currently a doctor of chiropractic, and I'm halfway through my doctor of nursing practice doctorate, so I'll have two doctorates this time next year. My practice that I run, New Grand Prairie Chiropractic out of Grand Prairie, Texas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we do mostly rehabilitation and diet and nutrition, basically teach people how to read labels, what foods to avoid, and how to have a better, healthier life overall. And that's mostly catered towards blacks and Hispanics. So that's a little bit about myself.
Okay. Sounds good to me. All right, well, today we're talking about this problem. You know, it's are you what you eat? Like, that's a real big issue that we're having right now. Obesity is a problem, and it's really a problem within our, it's a problem with all communities, but our community is really, really catching a big brunt of it. So if you could talk a little bit about that, you know, type of things that we're dealing with and what we could do to make things better.
Well, there's a long myriad of things that we can make things better, but the first thing we have to do is identify what the problem is. And a lot of times people kind of talk over our heads, we don't really understand. So a lot of the responsibility, as bad as the government may be, is on us. Now, as blacks and Latins, a lot of the stuff is generational. A lot of the things that we eat is because of how we grew up. We grew up poor, so we ate white bread with every meal. We served Kool-Aid for Latins. They ate a lot of tortillas and a lot of, you know, flatbread type of foods. Well, today, poor is not what poor used to be. You know, I mean, people consider themselves poor and they get $1,000 a month in food stamps. So you have to make better informed decisions. If you look at a family portrait from 1970 or 1980 versus today, it ain't that many big people in those pictures as opposed to today. So the first thing that I have, and I actually wrote down some things that we have to do, is my evil triad. I know we have a bunch of time to talk about this, mm-hmm. but you have to identify what's in your food and what it does to you. If you know what's in your food and what it does to you, that it makes a hell of a difference in the choices that you make. A lot of it is personal responsibility. You know, you have a lot of moms who get their kids involved in everything to the point that they don't have time to cook food. That's an excuse. You have to, it's essentially like saying, God, let's bless this poison that we eat and try to call it food. Or like Nick, when we spoke earlier, it's like you don't pay your bills with counterfeit money, so why are you going to pay your body with counterfeit food? We're not eating real food, but yet we want real results. And then when it comes down to the cancers and the diabetes, Now we want to go into bankruptcy to try to save our lives when, okay, maybe a dollar here, a dollar there more. Either you're going to pay now or you're going to pay later. So the first thing that I would say is my three heavy hitters, MSG, trans fatty acids, and high fructose corn syrup. They're in all of our foods. So you say, Doc, what do I do to avoid these foods? Well, the things I do to avoid those foods are cook at home more. Now, in today's society, we're going to eat out, and that's fine. You can eat out, but you shouldn't be eating out breakfast, lunch, and dinner four to 10 times a week. You're going to have to prepare your meals at home. So moms, you're going to have to be moms, and you have to stay at home a little bit and cook. Dads, you're going to have to be dad, and you might have to make a little more money, or you might have to help your wife cook or your girlfriend or whatever. But we can't be a victim to circumstance. We can't be a victim and say, I don't have time, because the government and all these lobbyists are pimping us. They know we don't have time. That's why you can get stuff for 99 cents. That's why you can get an economy size of cheese balls for 79 cents. And then we wonder why we're getting all these disease processes. It starts with us. So, real quick, MSG. MSG is actually more addictive than crack cocaine and methamphetamines combined. And the problem with MSG is that there are 27 different ways to name it. So, if they say, so legally, they can say that foods are MSG free and technically not be lying. They can use it, they can say isolate or anything. If you see anything that's, hydrolyzed, or anything that says extract that's not of a leaf, that's more than likely going to be an MSG. And what MSG was brought to the United States as a flavor enhancer. That's what they call it. Basically, you cook a food and it enhances the flavor, but it makes it more addictive. So now I know we've all eaten a food, like, it's not that good, but I just can't stop eating it. And you start to crave it, and it goes to the same craving centers of your brain that a lot of these heavy-hitting drugs, because essentially it is a drug, and it is highly addictive. And when you stop eating these foods, you go through the same withdrawal symptoms that you would with a drug. So you have to go for rehab for Happy Meals, I guess.
Wow.
It's true for me. You remember that girl? Yes, sir.
Dr. Reeves, I heard you say the MSGs are more addictive than crack. Why do they continue to put it in food?
Well, it's money, and you know, money comes down to everything. Now, here's the thing. You know, they test everything on lab rats. Poor lab rats. I feel so bad for them. So what they'll say is to protect themselves is that in low amounts, and or they'll say in what is it like to say, if you take things in conservative amounts or in a reasonable amount, these things won't hurt you. But
right.
let's look at Wayside today. Do we eat or drink anything in a reasonable amount?
No,
you
we
know,
do
a
not.
A reasonable amount is 8 ounces, you know. But how many people actually drink 8 ounces of anything and actually quench their thirst? No.
Everything
so,
sold at a store is 20 ounces and above.
Jack in the Box out here is for $1, 64 ounces.
Wow.
Free refills. Oh yeah. So now you're saying that's 8 times 8. So now you start getting into some more problems. I mean, it's more problematic. I know people that can knock out 2 2-liters in a day. You know, this. So when you get to the lobbyists and things of that nature, there's money. Here's a quick story. Back in before Reagan, one of our favorite presidents, was in office, the FDA banned NutraSweet, or what you would call aspartame, for years because it was used as a neurotoxin. Now, back in the day, you know, scientists were dumb. What they would always do is they'll blow up some stuff and then they'll taste it. You know, they always tasted stuff. So they blew up something and they tasted it, and it had a little sweet taste to it. So they would test it on the poor little lab rats again, and in low amounts, it had a sweet taste, and it didn't kill them. So for years, they was pushing the FDA to put NutraSweet out there, and they said no. The FDA chairman, no, 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 no. Reagan gets in office. He's buddies with the people that produce this stuff. They give him $2 million. And this guy, first week in office, gets fired. And now NutraSweet is safe to be on the market in the early 80s. That's how things get put on the market, like corn, high fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup is 300 times sweeter than sugar, and it's cheaper. You can take one bushel of corn. It's essentially like a drug. You can flip it. They're flipping corn, y'all. They can take corn and flip it. You can take one bushel of corn and make $10,000 off of corn.
Whoa.
They make Yeah. We're in the wrong business.
Yes, we are.
We need to be in the corn business. It is so much money in corn. When you look at your food, I encourage everybody, with everything that you purchase, you'll notice, damn, it's corn in everything because corn is cheap. Corn is cheap,
yep.
and they're genetically modifying it. There's no reason why you should have 9-year-old girls developing breasts and 11-year-old girls starting their cycle. It's ridiculous, and it's all the hormones, all the growth hormones they're putting in stuff. You need stuff to grow at its own rate. So now the corn industry is pumping out all this corn. You got corn in your food. You got corn in your clothes. Corn is in everything. So you have a choice. Do we pay $2 or $10 a bushel for sugar cane, or do we pay 11 cents? Oh, I'm sorry, it's down 7 cents per bushel. And then you can actually turn around and flip that and make tens of thousands of dollars depending on what you make out of it. That's why corn is in everything. You have to, the biggest question, guys, is you have to ask the question, why? Why and what? Why is this in my food, and what does it do to me? If you knew what things was, like all my sugar drinkers, aspartame at room temperature chemically turns into formaldehyde.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
What?
And then, oh, yes, look it up. It's there. I wish I had links I could just put up right now, but it's there. I mean, everything I'm saying has been researched. But one of the things that they like to do is they like to go after people who question. They like to go after people who question. So they'll start talking about that test I cheated on in sixth grade to try to tear down my credibility because they have more money than I have. You know, so but it's there chemically. If you break it down, high fructose corn syrup. All you honey buyers, if you like to buy honey from Walmart, you're wasting your time because high fructose corn syrup, which is essentially cheap, they can make a bottle for 2 cents, has the same chemical makeup as honey. So they can put like a drop of honey in there, put a little coloring in it, and call it honey.
Wow.
So, doctor, let me ask you this. I read a study from the University of Washington that basically says that it costs about $3.52 per person per day to have like just regular these unhealthy foods that contain a lot of high fructose corn syrup and what have you. But it takes to eat healthier, it's like $36.32 a day to eat a low calorie healthier food. Like for someone who doesn't have that economic ability, what are some choices that they can make that are still affordable?
Great question. Glad you asked. The thing is that I call it the Hiroshima effect, patent pending. You're going to have to blow up your diet and start all over. Take a grenade to your kitchen and start all over. There are cheaper things that you can buy, cheaper choices that you can buy that don't cost you that much. The thing is, you're going to have to cook. Bottom line, you can get a bag of real brown rice from Walmart for 68 cents, organic real brown rice for 68 cents. And there's a lot of things you can do with brown rice. You can get, here's another thing what I tell my students. Here's another thing I tell my students that I teach. God gave us all 32 teeth. All right, so let's do a quick math lesson. All right, 12 of our teeth are in sizes. They're designed for meat and nuts. The other 20 are designed for fresh fruits and vegetables. So why do we eat so much meat? We eat against the way that we're designed. We're supposed to eat way more fresh fruits and vegetables than we eat meat. Processed food. Human body is not designed to break that down. Cow's milk, another thing that's a very expensive thing that we buy in the store. We're not physiologically designed to break down cow's milk. We shouldn't be drinking cow's milk.
Mm.
You know, so then, oh yeah, you know, you look at certain
things. It's all lactose intolerance.
Yeah, because we're not.
I had someone say that to me, like, what is the difference between monkey milk and cow's milk? Like, why are we drinking something for baby cows?
Essentially, I mean, not to get too nerdy, but your kidneys and your gut, all right? A cow's protein under a microscope is like the size of a watermelon. You're trying to squeeze a watermelon through a water hose. That's why we have to, we're supposed to drink what's called whey protein. You know, like a mother's breast milk is made out of whey protein. All right, cow's milk is casein, casein protein. It's huge. That's why we have so many problems with it, like allergies. I tell my asthmatic patients, stay off of cow's milk for one month. I had one young man who ran track. He went from an asthma attack every other day to not one in a single month.
Wow.
From it. But it's money in the marketing. So, like, with vitamin C, I say vitamin C, what's the first thing that's in everybody's mind? Vitamin C.
Oranges.
There is three times as much vitamin C in spinach and broccoli. But which one do you think is going to sell more? Oranges. You get more vitamin C in blueberries and strawberries, but oranges are more attractive. You get more, I mean, you get more out of a cucumber than you would any citrus fruit. But you have to start, it's true. There's so many things you could do, like oils that we cook in. We should never, ever, ever use vegetable oil. If you use vegetable oil, that's be some stuff you mail to an enemy because you don't like them. That's how bad vegetable oil is or canola oil. I'm serious. We should be cooking in an olive oil or a coconut oil mix because they're very light oils. Now, don't deep fry in coconut oil because you will burn your house down. That's how light it is.
Wow.
Seriously, trust me. I tried it. But and we need fat. Here's the problem, guys. We think that fat is the enemy. We think that that is a weapon of mass destruction. You need good, healthy fat. But the thing is, you need healthy fat. Your central nervous system.
And stuff like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Your central nervous system was the very first thing that was designed, your brain and your spinal cord. That is 75% fat. Your brain is mostly fat. So if you call somebody a fathead, technically you ain't lying.
I have another question. On Facebook today, when I posted the show and I told what we were going to be talking about, I had one of my Caucasian friends ask me, you know, Jennifer, why is it that you think that minority children suffer more from unhealthier choices than maybe Caucasian children, blacks and Hispanics? That I think that blacks and Hispanics are making more unhealthier choices. Do you find in your studies or in your practice that that's true or untrue? Or is it more a race issue or a class issue about unhealthy living?
It's a combination of everything you just said. The first thing is it's money. You're not going to have healthier choices in the black and Latin community by design. You're going to have higher calorie foods in the community. Also, they choose not to put better named grocery chains in lower income areas. And if they do, you're not going to find fresh alfalfa sprouts or anything like that, things that are really good for you. You know, you're going to find crap. I mean, we've all been to grocery stores in the hood versus grocery stores. You get into Caucasian areas and you'd be like, wow, am I in heaven? It is by design. You have more gas stations and places, and then there's a markup. So a lot of these, so it's essentially designed to keep people poor, you know, to make poor decisions because of their money. When people do go out, and you have some people who think that they're being frugal and their heart's in the right place, but they'll say, okay, well, we get $500 in food stamps or $300 in food stamps, so I'm gonna make this stretch. I'm gonna get all these Doritos and all these Cheetos because they're on sale. They're emperor size. I mean, they're huge. I mean, like, I got a whole full room full of Cheez-Its, you know, and they make these good they think that they're making good decisions. And it is by design. On my street, because I live in a high Hispanic area, and there's this cross street called Cooper Street. Now, when you go to the east side of Cooper Street, that's where the more upper-scale white people live. And all the grocery stores on the east side of Cooper Street, the contents are not even close to the west side of it, and it's just a street. It's just a side of the street. You're not going to get good, healthy things. So it is by design. The biggest question, I mean, and it's not to be a conspiracy theorist, I just want you to ask yourself, why is it that the Food and Drug Administration are under the same umbrella? So as far as, you know, minorities, you get them these, you give them these high-calorie foods, these high-calorie, low-nutritional foods. They get all of these disease processes, and most of them are Medicare, or some kind of government assistance. So now you got money for the drug lobbyists because now you're going to put them on all these drugs. You look at the drugs that people are on. You look at the drugs they're on, even not even the diabetes. Let's take something like how many of y'all got kids? Okay, now, I remember they tried to say that my son had ADD. Now, ADD is 86% misdiagnosed across the country. So that means one out of every six kids is actually got ADD. So off the rip is already wrong. Now, to be a little nerdy, God knew what he was doing when he designed our brain. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When he designed us, he got two enzymes in our brain that slow our brain down and one that speeds it up. So our brain should move slower than it does faster. The one thing that speeds our brain up is called glutamate. Glutamate is MSG, monosodium glutamate.
Mm-hmm.
MSG is in everything. So these kids who are basically on speed and stuff like and methamphetamine, if you were to take your kids, if you was actually to give them nothing but fresh food for 1 month, you'll see a different child.
I have a question. Just like with my kids, I noticed that the menu choices that they have, it's horrible. I know it's horrible. I even noticed, like, my son has gained weight this year more so than anything, and I know he's going through his changes because he's getting older. But at the same time, I'm noticing the diets that they have in the schools, you know, it's not right. But what are some of the things that I can do, you know, because I know a lot of the lunch buckets that we have, the lunch carrying case that he has, is not built to hold fresh vegetables or fruit all day. What are some of the things I can do to help him throughout the day to get his metabolism right and keep everything going where even if he eat that crap at school, you know, he's okay. I can get him back on point.
Well, the first thing that you do is make sure your children are active. My son kind of took after my metabolism, and Nick, you know how small my wife is. Well, unfortunately, mm-hmm. he took after my side of the family. So this summer,
yeah,
you know,
Nick
I
is a big
him,
boy.
Yeah, he on steroids. But so I put him on. I bought him the Fit Kids by Sean T. And my son doing workouts, he ain't breaking a sweat. So I said, you know what, we gonna turn this up a little bit. So I had my son doing Insanity. And my son dropped 20 pounds this summer. So you got to get the kids active. I ain't saying do something. I mean, make them run soccer or something. So you have to burn more than you take in. That's the first thing. You know, if you're either leveling out, you're not going to lose any weight. And if you're taking in more calories than you're actually burning, you're going to gain weight just by simple mathematics. All right? As far as things to take to school, there are some things that you can keep all day that don't, well, at least, what, till lunchtime, which is going to be around 12. And if you leave mm-hmm. home, getting to school, you know, you should be 4 hours. You put a little cool pack in there that
is. Oh, I think we just lost Dr. Reed. Hopefully we get him back in a second here. Man, he brought us some very interesting points, guys.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm taking notes over here.
I mean, if anyone's out there, you know, you're listening to Dr. Jamie Reed. Nick, give his title again, if you recall. That's pretty long.
I'm sorry. Say it one more time.
Did you give his title again? It was pretty long. I'll just letting everybody know who we were talking to.
It's very long. I'll put it in the description.
Okay. But we are talking about.
But he's a doctor of health and wellness, nutrition and chiropractic.
Oh yes, we're also talking about, you know, the effects. Are you really what you eat? You know, some of the things we consume. Is it really hurting us? Is it helping us? He's just breaking down how, you know, some of the that whole thing with the corn and the sugars, man, and the misdiagnosed. I mean, a lot of kids are getting thrown on that hypeness of being hyper kids.
They are, and I think that we're, you know, over-drugging our children because, you know, what I found the most interesting was that what he said that, you know, because a lot of kids now, everyone's ADHD. You know, they throw that term around so loosely, you know, and will slap your children on Ritalin and all other types of medication, but, you know, you know, we don't try other choices. We just believe what people say so they can sell us a drug.
And then also, you know, with the clip that Kevin played earlier about how the lady was saying that, you know, she was saving more money going to a fast food restaurant than actually going to a grocery store buying more organic food and spending more money during the week. That's money that she didn't have. And that's something that a lot of people deal with every day. They look at, well, I can save $20 by spending $10 on myself, my husband, and my kids by going to McDonald's and eating off the dollar menu versus spending $30 at the grocery store on one meal that we are probably going to eat half of for that one particular night. You know, that's something to look at.
Well, you know what, man? We have another clip, and then I think we're going to get the doc back in. We're going to get Dr. Reed back in. Right here, this is one, just basically what you guys are talking about as far as it's easier to buy fast food than it is to buy healthier food. Y'all check this out.
For many Americans, economic times have never been worse. But for fast food companies, they've never been better. While 1 in 8 Americans rely on food stamps, the stocks of Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and McDonald's are at all-time highs. For consumers, stretching their recession dollars to buy healthy food has been tough, especially when chains like Little Caesars offer a large pizza for only $5. Or the McDonald's McDouble, their double cheeseburger goes for just $1.
Your mother gives you $5. You want to make that stretch, you understand? You're going to McDonald's, you're getting a McDouble, and you're getting some fries. And then you're going to go to the store and get you something to drink. And that way you still have at least $1 or $2 to maybe buy you some chips a little later.
Growing up, I had home economics in school, and so they taught you what a healthy plate looked like. You had a starch, a protein, a vegetable. And I think that's the information that children don't have. And because they see in their environment unhealthy food and they see it's cheaper, it's being consumed by everybody, they don't think about an alternative. But if you gave them the education, maybe they would have the information to make the alternative choice, the healthier choice.
And that was a clip right there. You know, she was basically saying some of the things we said earlier. If you're given the opportunity to make a healthier choice, you would make that healthier choice, just like we were talking before the show. Whereas some people, you know, in their neighborhoods, they do not have traditional grocery stores. They have liquor stores. They have corner stores. I mean, in the South, we're somewhat lucky because, you know, they're not going to put up neighborhoods without grocery stores down here because we're so somewhat rural, even though we're city. There's still rural areas. Like even in the city of Atlanta, you can't go in the city of Atlanta and not find a traditional grocery store. You know what I'm saying? But you have situations where people only have fast food restaurants. Like she was saying, the $5 pieces from Little Caesar. All these things are not healthy. Why do y'all
a lot of people, they're not making these choices because they want to. It's just because that's what's best economically for their family.
That's right.
If you had to feed all your kids, you know, it's not because people are making these choices on purpose. You know, if I could afford to go to Publix, or if you had 3 or 4 kids and you're a single mom, can you shop at Publix? Can you go buy all those, you know, nice, wonderful fruits and vegetables and stuff like that? Or would you rather, you know, you've got to pay for this, gas, this and that. If you got to cut back, unfortunately, that's one of the first places that your budget gets cut, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
There was a study done by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention saying that blacks are 51% higher obesity, or at a 51% higher obesity rate than whites. And Latinos are at a 21% higher obesity rate than white people.
Okay,
I mean,
Jen, we have Dr. Reed back on the line. We're going to go ahead and bring him back in, okay?
Okay.
All right, Dr. Reed, you're back live with us. Sorry about that right there. Dr. Reed. Hello?
Hello? I don't think that's him, Kevin.
That's him. Dr. Reed.
Okay.
Caller 803, is this Dr. Reed?
No, this is Thomas.
Okay, sorry, Thomas.
While we wait on Dr. Reed, you know, this last year when Michelle Obama has had a campaign, you know, to try to attack obesity, you know, with children and her Less Move campaign. But, you know, unfortunately, it hasn't been embraced, like, largely by the public. You know, when a lot of first ladies or people in office have, you know, what was her name, President Reagan's wife, when she had the Let's Say No, it was embraced by the masses, you know, with the war on drugs, you know, just say no. But, you know, Michelle Obama has this Less Move campaign, and you don't see that across the board where you have all these advertisements and fast food companies and people getting involved, you know, with her fight against childhood obesity.
Well, you know, there are a couple of programs. I ran across one that's in New York City that they have basically to get the kids up and moving and about, you know, as far as making sure they stay healthy. And it's called Hip Hop Heels, and it's healthy eating and living in schools. And basically what they're trying to go with is getting these kids understanding the proper way to put together salads and different items and try to introduce their parents into the same mind thought process instead of, hey, Mom, I want to go up to McDonald's today, and I want to get McDonald's because Y'all know a lot of kids, after my kids even did it, and still do it. They want to go to McDonald's first, and y'all know me. I am one of the ones that will cook. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to try to put together something as healthy as I can, but I would love to hear from Dr. Reed again, because there are certain things I know that we're not taught in our communities, proper portions and additives that we can add to our food that would make it healthy for us to consume instead of just consuming all these products like you were saying with the MSG. That's scary.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It is. It's very scary.
And it makes you want to reevaluate your whole refrigerator and your cabinet in there just to look on the side of the box and see if it's got MSG in it.
It does.
See if it got MSG in it, man. It's scary.
And when people do not think that these companies do not target people, you know, please don't think that that's not true or if it's a myth, because I've seen it from my own eyes. I, you know, used to work mm-hmm. for a food manufacturing company. I, you know, have been in a meeting where they had produced a new lard, and they had a map of America, and they had highly populated African-American and Latino communities, you know, like dotted out on this map where this is where they were going to push the lard. People didn't eat lard. I didn't think people even ate lard anymore, where they were going to push lard on these communities. And it's still, but, you know, a lot of times the companies that they sold it for were, you don't know that it's going in your food. I see we have a caller.
All right, Thomas, you are live with the middleman. You have a comment or a question?
Yeah, I actually have a little bit of expertise in this area. I was an agribusiness major at South Carolina State University.
Okay.
And so, you know, South Carolina State University is a land-grant institution.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they were established, some of these HBCUs, when they established, the whole idea was to, you know, help promote research by way of, you know, agricultural development in rural communities and, you know, teach them about, you know, the business side of agriculture. Now, one of the things that a lot of people may not realize, the food pyramid that was developed back in the 50s, if you follow that food pyramid, it's the same components as pig slop. And in fact, it would make you diabetic. So to kind of add on to what the doctor, the good doctor was saying, he's absolutely correct. One of the biggest things, you know, being I'm from New York, but I got family in the South, is culturally the way people are raised to eat. Down in South Carolina, they still eat things like hog barn and fat back and chitlins and stuff that, you know. And so my family, they think I'm kind of weird because I don't eat red meat or pork. I don't eat a lot of meat, period.
Okay.
And it's because I know what they do. You know, I don't even know there's a book that came back out back in the 20s and 30s by Rudyard Kipling, and it was about basically how, you know, food manufacturing, how they rinsed the meat and stuff, like the processed meats, put it through borax, and then it have all kind of droppings. It's like we got to get more into the natural foods. Now, to the argument that someone made about it was cheaper to feed their family with processed food, it's the biggest lie. It's kind of like the same thing as saying that, you know, buying things that are bad for your house that are basically, they might be cheaper, but they're of lower quality,
right,
it's going to be cheaper long run. It's just not accurate. I mean, if anything, you're getting more per ounce. You know, if you take, for instance, you go to the farmer's market and you go buy stuff. If you go to the farmer's market, in a lot of cases, you actually, they'll negotiate with you.
Oh,
whereas
yeah.
if you go to,
oh,
if,
yeah.
if you go, so like to the farmer's market here in Charlotte, where I'm at, if you go and you establish a relationship with them and you buy things in bulk, you can save a ton of money, and they'll remember you, especially like the Hispanic farmers, you know, the people that sell stuff. You can go out there, and if you spend a certain amount of money with them, they'll give you a little bit more. So, you know, you can't go to Harris Teeter or one of these, you know, chain grocery stores expecting to give you anything other than it's on a coupon. So, I mean, if you know how to shop, I mean, we know how to shop for everything else, and then we really don't know how to do that because we get taken, because if you go to the inner city, like in the Bronx on Fordham Road, you know, that's where one of the shopping districts, you go downtown to Manhattan, it's like 20% less for the same item. So we really don't even know how to do that really well. So,
Thomas, I want to ask you a question, brother. You lived in New York for quite a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just like with the bodegas and all the other little stores you have in your area, how do you survive without the traditional grocery stores? Do you have to travel miles at a time, or just people susceptible to eat junk food all
no,
day.
No, no. Actually, this is what happens in the city, right? For instance, and I'm pretty sure like in areas like Chicago and Detroit, they got it's very similar. But like in New York, you, like for instance, I grew up on 163rd and Trinity Avenue, right, which is not far from like Yankee Stadium. It's on the other side of town from Yankee Stadium, right? Now, further down on Brooklyn Boulevard, they had a fresh fruit and vegetable stand. They have supermarkets, like smaller supermarkets that are not national chains. And those, unfortunately, those supermarkets are a lot more expensive. Their rationale in some of those cases in those supermarkets that are local to your neighborhood, they charge higher prices because of shrinkage. So they always anticipate there's going to be, you know, theft and other stuff. And so they give you very low quality stuff at high prices. What we used to do, my mother, she used to send me, she used to give me, because I actually used to do food shopping in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd give me the money, and then I would go either probably about six blocks away where all the Jews were at, and I'd go over there. There was a big, you know, place where they had, it was like a, almost like a warehouse, and I used to get stuff for real cheap there. I would go to Wallbound, which was a Jewish supermarket. I used to go to Wallbound. I used to walk probably eight blocks, and I'd go over there, and she'd give me like $100, I'd get coupons, and I did all the shopping. So that you will have to travel a little bit further out to the neighborhood. We used to come away with more food. And my father, at one point, he used to drive us all over to New Jersey. We used to go to ShopRite in New Jersey. He'd get his gas. My father, to this day, he still gets his gas in New Jersey. He'd get gas in New Jersey because he's right there by the Major Deegan and the George Washington Bridge. He'd get gas like 30 cents a gallon cheaper in New Jersey, just going probably about 5 miles over.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So he goes and buys his food over in New Jersey, and he does his gas and all that stuff. So it's just,
in the area,
just kind of one of those things to buy.
In the areas that you shopped in, as far as with the Jewish, and caller 601, we're going to come to you. In the areas that you shopped in that were Jewish areas, was the food healthier, or did it have more
better quality food?
What was that?
It was better quality food, and it wasn't, just to be clear, it wasn't necessarily that it was a strictly Jewish area. It's just that the Jews had business interests there, so some of them, they may have even lived not far away from the area, but you still had access. Like the store that we talked about, Wallbounds, was right across the street from the Bronx County Courthouse. So you had, you know, you had a lot of Caucasians that was over there. It wasn't just blacks and Hispanics. There was a lot of Caucasians that either lived not far away from there, maybe a couple blocks up or whatever. So, you know, that's what you had to do. You had to know where to go. You know, just like shopping. Like I never shopped like in the immediate urban area for clothes. I would go down to Lower Manhattan because you can get the same stuff for 20-30% less.
Right.
And they'll probably negotiate with you.
Man, wow, that's crazy. That's crazy right there. Sounds somewhat like down here. But Thomas, man, we appreciate you for your comment. If you want to make another comment, just press that number 1. We're gonna go ahead and go to the next call, okay?
All right.
All right, appreciate you, brother. Caller 601, you're live with the middleman. What's up?
Hello, little man. Hello, Jen. How are
Hello.
You?
Hello.
What's going on, Chuck? You all have a very, very, very important topic today, talking about food, because food is extremely important. Diet is extremely important. I want to bring something up to you guys in terms of food, because I have friends who are vegetarians and whatnot. And I think what the brother said is correct, that the diet that we do have is definitely hurting us. It is causing a large percentage of diabetes among our people. But I want to talk about a corporation and corporate food, because I think it's very important that you understand that the food that is winding up in our community is not by accident. As Jen pointed out, it's by design. And now they're getting even more and more vicious. You got companies like Monsanto, who understand that people are getting a little hipper to the processed food and how dangerous it is, and people are actually trying to grow their own vegetables. So you got companies like Monsanto who are creating these genetically engineered vegetables or plant foods that will bear fruit once, and then the seeds will be barren.
Yeah.
And in some foreign countries, they're actually making it illegal for you to save seeds.
What?
And in other countries, they're making it illegal for you to grow large quantities of vegetables with these non-genetically engineered vegetables. It's illegal for you to disseminate these seeds. Monte Santo has been very, very, very instrumental in this movement.
You know what, Charlie? That, I mean, I've read the same thing before. I've heard about that. And, I mean, where can you go find fruits that have not been altered or genetically altered or tainted? You know, because I'm looking at... Where you got
to
go?
What you try to do... What you try to do is you go to these organic vegetable growers, like the brother said, try to find farmers who are selling their wares, you know, in farmers' co-ops, farmers' markets, and you just ask them. Some of them you can ask. But the best way to kind of know is if you got the seeds going down south. Right now, one of the things that we do down south is, you know, we save seeds. You
yeah,
know,
that's
we
true.
We still have farmers who do it the old-fashioned way. So those of us down south, we may be a little bit luckier and a little bit better off than some of the brothers and sisters up north and out west or even in the Midwest. But there is a movement. Awareness is growing, and more people are beginning to insist on having non-genetically engineered vegetable, you can actually demand that in your grocery store. You can ask for that.
Right.
You can ask for grocers to buy produce from locally grown farmers, co-ops and whatnot. So there are ways that it can be combated, but part of the thing is having an awareness of what it is.
You know what, one thing too, Charlie, with that, I've heard that even the seeds that have been genetically altered, they can make you barren as far as having children because a seedless is the fruit.
I've heard that also.
Yeah,
the same way, you know, if you're looking at, like, say, for instance, some of the meats that we're eating, particularly chicken, poultry products, have been enhanced with a lot of growth hormones so that the chickens will grow faster, which also explains why you're seeing our adolescent women, our young ladies, developing faster than they should. Our young men developing faster than they should. But at the same time, that development doesn't stop because you keep eating the food. So what happens is over a period of time, when your body starts, your metabolism starts to slow down, instead of developing the way you normally, you start getting fat.
Right.
You know, so basically, this is basically, in a sense, it's genocide. I mean, I hate to use, people keep saying, Charlie, you're a grassy knoller. Charlie, you're paranoid. It's not really about that, but it is. If I am a corporation and I place profits before people, if I target specific ethnic groups for a product that I know that my research has shown that in the long run it's going to hurt someone, what other way can you decide? You describe what I'm doing.
Speaking of that, Charlie, man, I mean, just like what you were saying about our young girls out here, that it's amazing to me when you look at some of these young girls, you cannot decipher and tell that they're at a particular age now, because you can see a 13-year-old girl and she looks like she's every bit of 25.
But agreed. But the thing is, the most important thing is, her mind is not 25.
That's true.
You see what I'm saying? What's going on is, again, that's genocide. That's probably contributing to a large reason why some of these young females are having sexual intercourse at an early age. Why teen pregnancy is going up in our community. Again, we talk about the various diseases like diabetes and whatnot. You're seeing, even now, you're seeing our children become obese.
Oh, yeah.
Now, also, most importantly, this is very important. Now, when we're talking about food, if you are a friend of mine on Facebook, you'll notice that I post a piece that says that fast food restaurants, particularly Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, KFC,
eateries that are normally in the black community, heavily in the black community, are now petitioning the federal government so that they can take EBT, food stamps, and whatnot, so that they can actually offer cooked fast food and get paid from the government.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the implications of that, yes.
We just want to let everybody know that's on the line. We want to thank you again for calling in. And the show is still going on. Everybody that's over on the web, Chad Chai Boogie, Grown Game, and they're all our guests that are tuning in today. Our man Grown Game over here, he had a very interesting comment. He was talking about the conditioning of media, and he was saying how it's teaching the young black girls to become, quote-unquote, thick because it's the only way to be attractive. And that's
right.
Something to think about that. You know,
booty,
y'all think about
booty
it.
Booty and breasts. I mean, that's what they put out there, booty and breasts.
Poor R. Kelly.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Charlie, we want you to hold on. We want to bring our man Thomas back in, and I think Thomas has a comment.
Yes, sir.
Thomas, you're live again.
Yeah, what he was talking about, Charlie was talking about, is the Codex Alimentarius. The Codex Alimentarius is a document that was adopted by the World Health Organization, and basically, what they try to do is a very complex, it's like a 1,200-page document, but really what they try to make it look like is, like, you know, they're setting standards, you know, internationally for food. But what it really is basically it's twisting words, and basically if you really strip it all down, it makes the case that, you know, anything that is of human benefit, you know, as far as natural food, they're trying to regulate it out. And kind of what he was talking about, if you really think logically about it all, okay, the way capitalism works, quote unquote, you have to have a class of people who are always at the bottom to support every part of that system. So whether it be the people who are the least educated, the sickest people, the poorest people, in order for everyone else to live the lifestyle that they have, you have to have certain class of people or race of people to be at the bottom. And that's what this really is all about, because
that's true.
If you look at the fact that, one, you know, during the debate, the Republican debate, the question came up. Brian Williams asked the question. Of course, he got no response from Rick Perry. He said, what are we going to do about the fact that black families have a median net worth that's 1/120th of a white family? So that means for, you know, let's say, for instance, the median, I think the last time I looked at the median net worth of white families in this country was well over $100,000. The net worth for a family, black family, is about $5,000. That's including the real estate. And if you're in an area like in D.C., where, you know, you have phantom real estate values, where, you know, real estate values went down because you're in PG County, so supposedly the richest black county in the United States, and most of the money is tied up in real estate, they really don't have anything. They probably have less than 10,000 liquid assets after the bubble happened in 2008. So, I mean, there's systemically, there's things that are in place that, you know, in order for you to have a capitalist society to work, quote unquote, there's redistribution of wealth. So, you know, whether it be from the fact that we make up a large proportion of the prison industry, you know, without the prison industry, you wouldn't have parole officers, you wouldn't have defense attorneys, public, you know, attorneys, you wouldn't have the amount of judges. So we always, we're basically the same slaves that we were from 100 years ago, but we don't like to say that, but it really is.
That's
so
true.
So true.
We have also Grown Game over here on the web chat. He was saying that he was noticing, and he's speaking about single people, single parents more so, that they're out more so often eating with their kids and not cooking at home. What do you guys think about that? Because it's like we're so hectic with our jobs and our lives that we're not taking the time to, you know, cook and make sure we're eating the proper meals at home.
That's it.
I was going to say is that I think that the doctor said it, but like, it's a lot of things, not just with food, but, you know, we're talking about food today, that we need to reevaluate in our community what we put importance on. Like, you know, what we put in our mouths, our health, you know, it's our survival as a people depends on it. And, you know, if we want to be healthy and strong and to progress you know, in the future, we're going to have to learn how to make, you know, better food choices. And you know, a lot of times I know we put it last on the list, but we're just going to have to reevaluate what's important.
That's true. Man, that's so true. The phone lines are open, y'all. If you're out there listening or via the web, the number is 718-508-9972. We appreciate, once again, everybody that's on the web chat, Charlie and Thomas. Y'all guys are dropping some great knowledge right here. One thing in the search of this right here, you are what you eat. And one thing that we talked about a little bit earlier is liquids. I know we talked about the sugar content that are in the liquids, but Jen brought up something about minorities and bottled water. We think it's safe for y'all. Why are we drinking glorified tap water?
Because the bottle.
What do y'all think about the glorified tap water?
It's really what it is. The bottle's pretty. The prettier the bottle, the better off we are. That's how we look at it.
That's crazy,
there's the
man.
Truth of it. If people look at it like fatter, it's the same water. It's the same water. But we look at it, you know, we see the commercial. We're victims of advertising, quite honestly.
We truly are.
I learned that from media training years ago. We are victims of advertising. The more we see something, the more we want it. It can be the very same thing that is coming out of our faucet, but it's in a pretty bottle.
And there has been no proof that bottled water is any more healthier than tap water. There's no proof to that. It's just a mental thing. It's really, really sad. You know, I hope we go ahead and post the article on our site, but I know it's saying that I think that African American and Hispanics spend $20 a month on bottled water versus Caucasians who shell out about $12 a month on bottled water. If you're spending $20 a month on bottled water, that means you're cutting back on something important. Drink your tap water that you're already paying for, and that way you can squeeze in some more healthy fruits and vegetables in your pantry.
Matter of fact, if you just spend $20 a month on fruit.
Can I ask you a question? I want to ask you a question about that particular stat. Do you think that the white folks are spending less money because it's cheaper where the bottled water is cheaper where they are, just opposed to people who live in urban environments? The water costs more?
Well, let me say something in actually direct answer to that. I can remember doing a grand opening for Academy Sports in Madonna, Georgia. I was in a predominantly white area, and one of the big sales that they had going on is they had the cases of water, a 12 case, for $1.99. And so now the couple of black people that came in, they were buying it up quick. And don't get me wrong, there were white people too. But I remember this older white couple. They came in and they told the lady, you know, hey, we have bottled water for $1.99. She was like, that's too expensive. And they were like, you can get that cheaper somewhere else. She was like, yeah, out of my faucet.
Wow.
I mean, it was cheaper.
I mean, if you're spending $20 a month, you might as well just save that money and just buy your filter. If you're that paranoid about what's in the water system, just buy a filter and add it onto your water system.
And a lot of people do have filters in their house, and, you know, and they invest in that, and that's another way they're drinking the tap water is they just have that filter on their faucet.
Wow,
but like I said,
that
extra money could be put towards some healthier food choices in your refrigerator.
Well, not only that, we have a bad habit, and I know some of y'all are going to know who I'm talking about and what I'm talking about, not anybody in particular. But how many people you know will get those bottles and reuse them, and they don't realize the bacteria that's in those bottles once they reuse them?
Yeah.
So we're not really helping ourselves out either way it goes. We're making a bottle company somewhere rich at the end of the day. Because either way it goes, fluorine, fluoride, whatever you want to call it, it's in the water, period. Like I told Al, they're just running this water over some dirty socks somewhere.
Right. Yeah, some dirty socks. Right.
And what I see a lot of Hispanic people go to Walmart and get the big jugs, but you're drinking Walmart tap water. You know, you can fill it up with water. Like, you're paying for Walmart's tap water that comes straight out of Walmart's tap. I don't understand that. It's not like a special thing.
Mm.
It's trendy, it's attractive, and we are a capitalistic society based on trends.
Right. But like what Jen was saying, like how when we were, like, well, if we were to go to Mexico, they always tell us don't drink their water. They're thinking the same thing. Don't drink our water. So that's probably why they buying all this.
No, you can drink some water in Mexico.
Yeah.
You about to now? They'll tell us. They'll say don't drink the milk in America. But that water, you go to Mexico, drink that water. You gonna see what happens. You got a better chance.
Hey,
with the water over here.
Mm-hmm. You might have a case of public carbonate stomach bubbles.
Have mad cow disease.
Wow, y'all crazy.
But Charlie and Thomas, man, we do appreciate your comments. We're gonna go ahead and take a quick break right here. Once we come back, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show, give a couple of solutions. If you guys have any solutions out there on the phone lines or on the web, please dial 718-508-9972. We are still live. This is the Middleman Talk Show. We appreciate everybody for listening. Man, I'm having a hard time today. We appreciate
everybody
for listening.
Your transmission is slipping.
To the show. Huh?
Your transmission is slipping.
I see. I'm over here just doing it bad, but... Man, let's take this quick break right here. I have a record that I want to play, y'all. Another record.
Uh-oh.
All right, y'all, check this one out right here. This is from one of my favorite groups right here, Dead Prez. Check it out.
It's all love, all love. No sweets, only ripe vegetables, fresh fruit and whole wheat. I'm from the old school, my household smell like tofu, bruh. Curry falafel, barbecue tofu, no fish though, no candy bars, no cigarettes, only ganja, fresh weed, juice from oranges. Exercising daily to stay healthy, and I rarely drink water out the tap cause it's filthy.
Lentil soup is mental fruit and ginger root is good for the youth. Fresh vegetable with them ice-high stews. Yam fries with the green hallelujah. Careful how you season and prepare your foods, cause you don't wanna lose vitamins and minerals, and that's a jewel. Life brings life, it's valuable. So I eat what comes from the ground, it's natural. Let your food be your medicine, no accelerant. Strictly herbs and rays from the sun, cause I got melanin and drink water. 8 glasses a day, cause that's what they say.
They say you are what you eat, so I strive to eat healthy. My goal in life is not to be rich or wealthy, but true wealth comes from good health and wise ways. We got to start taking better care of ourselves. They say you are what you eat, so I strive to eat healthy. My goal in life is not to be rich or wealthy, but true wealth comes from good health and wise ways. We got to start taking better care of ourselves. Be healthy, y'all.
Got to be healthy. Jen, I know you like some of the things they were saying. That lento soup. What is that?
Lento
barbecue,
soup?
Barbecued
no.
tofu? No, sir.
Like,
no, sir.
Lentils are good. Lentils are good. Like, you know, like in the Bible, they talk about eating lentils.
Lentils.
Oh, that's getting silenced. Wow. Y'all, you know what? Y'all should have dinner with me one day. Y'all should let me cook y'all a healthy, like,
I'm
dinner.
So scared.
Whatever.
I'm sorry.
Just
because
I mean.
I don't want no tofu.
Look, don't knock
it. I'll just go out and get you.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad.
At this point,
bad.
I just want to eat some ice.
Well, Gene, since you are one of the, I'll be honest, you eat way healthier than me, probably Al and Nick combined. What are some things that we can eat that's alternative to our traditional fried foods and things that just really bombard us with all this craziness as far as making us feel sick while we're eating?
Well,
Let me go to the food diet plate right quick, Jim, before you get into that. We don't have the actual food pyramid anymore, if you all did not know.
There's a new food guide plate that the government had put out, I think it was late last year or early part of last year. Basically, every meal you should have dairy in it, grain, protein, vegetables, and fruit in every meal that you have. Go ahead, Jen.
Well, you know, I did have this thing, but, you know, the doctor told us to that, you know, maybe dairy wasn't the best thing, but the USDA recommends that a healthy meal contain 3 ounces of whole grains and six ounces of grains in total, 2 cups of fruit, 2.5 cups of vegetables, and 3 cups of a fat-free or low-fat dairy. But, you know, earlier the doctor said maybe we should think twice about those dairy choices. You know, instead of getting your white flour, I know, you know, like your Lily White and stuff like that, try whole wheat flour. Like cooking with whole wheat flour instead. It really, you know, it's really not that big of a deal, guys. No, it's just, it's a mental thing. You know, instead of, you know, croissants or biscuits or white bread and rolls, you know, try low-fat whole grain breads or like whole grain rolls, wheat, rye, pumpernickel bread. It's really good. I like pumpernickel bread. Instead of fried tortillas, try soft tortillas. Don't fry it in, like, oil because, you know, like the doctor said, like, corn oil or, you know, vegetable oil, that's really not good for you. Instead of just using regular pasta for your spaghetti, try a whole wheat pasta. Instead of your white rice, you know, try some brown rice. You know, it's just that we have to learn how to just restructuring our food.
That's true. I think I need to definitely change my eating habits. I would love to get me a workout partner down this way when we finally get out, yeah. I mean, I think that's one important thing, too, to have a good workout partner. Like I said, along with dieting and getting the proper nutrition from your food as far as baked. But I think some baked foods are not good for you. I think a lot of times you got to be careful of certain foods. I know a lot of our friends, they stay away from pork. I haven't got there yet. I'm working on it. Matter of fact, I'm going to bring Charlie with my good friend.
A lot of active exercise can get real active.
I know.
With those new neighbors, you got chasing them around.
Charlie.
Yes.
What are some of the things you do to stay healthy as far as some of the foods that, you know, you try to eat to keep yourself in order?
Well, I don't eat pork, period.
I got to get away from that.
Red, huh?
No red meat. I forgot to say that. Cut red meat out.
You're going too far.
I'm
working on red meat. I do eat wheat spaghetti. I do eat brown rice. I eat wheat bread. I try to limit sugar. White sugar is a drug. It will kill you. And I know because I'm addicted to white sugar. That's one of the things that I'm addicted to. I like sweet. But I do try to limit that. I try to eat vegetables. I try to eat salad. The thing about black folk and people in general, when we eat salad, we go to a restaurant. If you notice, the salad that they serve is iceberg lettuce.
Yeah, iceberg.
Iceberg lettuce is not good for you. It's got water in it, so I guess the water is good for you, but it's really not good for you. You try to get, you know, a romaine. The greener the vegetable in the salad, the better for you.
I love spinach salad. If anybody ever had spinach salad, it's really good.
Oh yeah, if spinach is good. I like spinach too. I eat my wife buys this salad, and when she first bought it, it turned me off because stuff looks like leaves, literally.
Yeah,
looks like you're eating leaves, literally. but I've gotten used to it. It's a really good salad. It's very, 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 very nutritious. You know, since I'm turning 50 now, I try to watch what I eat, the fast food. Even though I still love a good, a good burger, I now eat turkey burgers.
Yay, Kevin! Ha ha, in your face!
Y'all better be careful.
I'm telling you, Kevin, listen.
That died out here.
The burger joint that I go to that I've been telling you about.
Oh, yeah.
Turkey burger.
Tell them about it, Charlie. Tell them about it.
They do turkey burgers,
I mean,
and I guarantee
you give up everything all quick, man. Y'all got to work
with
me.
If you live in L.A., if you live in California, go to Fat Burger, get a turkey burger. They have, like, one of the best turkey burgers I've ever had in my life. So good. And, like, if you're out here, Ruby Tuesdays has a really good turkey burger also.
Yeah, almost everybody is now offering turkey burgers because
TGI Friday does a turkey burger and a veggie burger, too.
Yeah, they offer veggie burgers.
Yeah, I've actually had, it's a mushroom burger, a portobello burger. I've actually had one. And it took me, it's not bad, but it's kind of, you got to get used to it.
I don't like mushrooms.
I will not conform. You don't like, oh, mushrooms are good for you. They help you with your digestion. I love mushrooms. But, you know,
I like mushrooms on top of my cheeseburger.
my problem is I need to drink more water. That's something I really, really need to work on. For some reason, I don't get thirsty, so I drink water when I get thirsty, but I have to practically force myself to drink water. And what I'm trying to do now is, I'm one of those bottled water drinkers. I'll try to get a liter of Dasani, and I'll try to drink that during the day, and then I'll drink some water at night. That's most important. If black folks and people in general don't realize how much drinking water can improve your health, can even improve your thinking. I remember one time my daughter, she kept complaining of a headache, and we took her to the doctor, and turned out she was dehydrated.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then the doctors, and I was like, dehydrated, that'll cause a headache? And he said, sure will. What do you think your brain is set in? A liquid.
Well, you know what, Charlie? Man, we appreciate you for sharing some of those solutions and some of those things we can also look at for ourselves to try to stay healthy. One thing I want to touch on before we get out of here today, there's a program in New York City. It's called Hip Hop Heals. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It was started by...
I'm familiar with it.
Lauren Collin in 2006. And Chuck D, he actually did some work with them. And I want to play this record right here. This is for everybody that's listening. If you have a kid, if you don't have them around you right now, make sure you go back and download this show and let them hear this record. It was it's a record that's just basically telling kids the proper way to look at food, certain things they need to eat, certain things they need to stay away from, and certain things that may be a little okay to eat. It's called, it's Stop, Go, or something like that. Well, forget about it. I'm going to just go ahead and play this record right here. Y'all check this out. And if your kids are around, go ahead and bring them in the room and let them listen to this record right here. You all listening to the Middleman Talk Show on Blog Talk Radio. Here we go right here. Y'all check this out. Hip Hop Heels.
Real sloppy. 6 a.m, it ain't funny being hungry, but it ain't no joke with a messed up tummy. Snack food, chips and cookies and soda. It might taste good, but it ain't good for you. Full of sugar and fats and all that butter and cream, if you know what I mean. Don't fry it, try it. Skip that junk food diet. All that butter is bad and you can't deny it. You might go wild every once in a while, but whoa, don't make it your style.
Bring it back down.
Calcium, a strong bone. What are these foods? Let's see if you
for the cheese.
Yes, but go low, fat cheese.
How about grains like corn and white rice, white bread and pasta?
Slow,
how about meats like chicken and fish?
Even if that's your wish.
Bring it back down.
From green, yellow to red, and it shows the kids, like you said, go slow. Whoa, whoa is like the food that you don't need to eat with all the high calories and fats and all that. And whoa is some of the things that you can, you know, slow is, you know, you kind of can eat some of those, but you don't need to eat as much. And the go are the foods that they're like, go ahead and eat as much as you want because it's healthy. And I think it's a good system to help the kids really differentiate what they need to eat. That's just my opinion.
Meanwhile, Dorothy Explorer's in the background doing the duggy.
How about this? Let's do this Talk of the Town right quick, Nick.
Yes, sir. Let's get it.
All right. Talk of the Town. Nick Eaton, Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world? This is your man, Nick Eaton, and I am here with the Talk of the Town. Chris Brown cleared of 95 parking tickets.
Who's this?
Los Angeles officials have ruled that the singer only has to pay a fraction of $15,000 in parking citation. Brown's lawyer stated last month that West Hollywood officials were forced to dismiss more than $15,000 in parking citations his client was issued for parking in handicapped spots. He goes on to explain that the handicapped parking spots at Brown's former condominium complex were assigned to him. The developer of the building had mistakenly marked his spaces as handicapped, and therefore his lawyer petitioned for the tickets to be dropped. However, the battle isn't won quite yet. While 95 tickets have been dismissed, 22 parking-related citations still remain open.
La-di-da-di-do. Look like we got us the winner of the Lucky Nigga of the Year award. They must think the sun shine out your ass. They must thank you, Sidney Smith.
A 24-year-old woman charged with raping her 10-month-old son and sharing the videotaped assault with her boyfriend is being held behind bars tonight on a $1 million bond. Ashley Jessup of Dublin, a city about 20 miles northwest of Columbus, was arrested on August 31st on two counts of rape of a child under 13 years old, one count of endangering children, and one count of pandering sexually oriented matter involving a minor. She allegedly performed sexual acts on the baby, which she videotaped and emailed to a boyfriend in Battle Creek, Michigan. They were sending sexually explicit material back and forth to each other, an officer told the Huffington Post. She then, at his suggestion, sent a video of her engaging in sexual conduct with her son, along with some other material that was both sexually explicit and unusual. A former girlfriend of the man discovered the video on August 31st and called the Michigan State Police.
You know what you look like to me with your good bag and your cheap shoes? Poor white trash.
This is your man Nick Eaton, and this is the talk of the town.
You know you're wrong, right?
Why am I wrong?
You wrong?
Why am I wrong?
You did wrong.
I'm not, I don't see why I'm wrong, sir.
EWT, my name. EWT. Oh, my
gosh. I just report the news. She did what it was. Look, she, I'm sorry. Hannibal needs to talk to her. Look at you. You're nothing more than Paul White trash. I'm sorry.
Well, we do appreciate everybody for tuning in, sticking it out with us today. Thank you very much. And we would like to thank Dr. Jamie Reed. I did say it right, fellas. Jamie Reed. For tuning in with us today and dropping some of the knowledge. Hopefully, we can have a follow-up show of this right here and have him back on the show again.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's a long-time listener of The Middleman and Talk of the Town, so we definitely appreciate all the support.
Yes, we do. And we are here.
The Middleman shouted, Beat Chris shouted. Now I ain't sure what you was tuning in to, but pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, so take a listen time out, take a minute. Shout in and learn some, put your mind to grind the work. You destined to earn some. Linda, yeah, comment on what you hear. Let's figure out that master plan and put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate, don't guess you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand, stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man, cause he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in, go live, 6 p.m., blogtalkradio.com. The Middle Me. Hey, what's happening? The Middle Me. Hey, what's happening? The Middle Me. Hey, what's happening? Blogtalkradio.com. The Middle Me.
Hey, man, speaking of Chris.
You?
He got nominated for 2 awards this year on the BET Hip Hop Awards. Rookie of the Year and Best Collaboration of the Year. Hope he wins.
All right, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Shout out to him. Oh, speaking of nominations, if everybody could just support your boy for a second and head over to ATLsHottest.com. I've been nominated for Hottest Male Vocalist. We actually have a nomination there tomorrow. Today is the last day to vote, so make sure you shoot on over to ATLsHottest.com and vote your boy, Hottest Male Vocalist in Atlanta. Also,
how
my man, Dub G, is nominated for a mixtape. Oh, it's ATLsHottest.com. Our man, Dub G, is also nominated for Best Mixtape DJ. So show some support for Team Sip, you know. We're trying to do our thing out here in the A, man.
How many times can I vote for you?
How many email addresses you got?
There we go. All right, we'll do that. We'll do that. Matter of fact, they need to be nominating us for something. Why the hell we ain't nominated for that? We the best, as Callie say.
Woo! Woo! We the best!
I know it.
Just saying, we the best. I don't know it. I ain't trying to boast or brag, but we good.
We are that.
Yeah. Because you know what? You know what we got? This is what we got. I don't know about everybody else, but it's
called self-esteem.
And we got it. Real talk.
Bless your little heart.
Just saying. Because if they don't believe that, this is what we're going to do to them.
Put the motherfucker on the stage!
Alright. Well, let y'all go ahead and get to y'all games, the rest of the games that's on tonight. Then, thank you for a wonderful show. This coming up week, the death of record labels, right?
2013, the death of the major label. Make sure that you tune in to the Middlemen Present Talk of the Town with Nick Eaton. This Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. For all you 9 o'clock callers and Jen.
I was trying.
Wow. And y'all go back and listen to that Carl Thomas show. If you listen this far, Go back and listen to Carter.
Can I tell you this before you get off the air? Because somebody else might have this problem. I just went to your website. It's not very user-friendly. Like, I can't even find your name.
Okay, I'm going to send you the direct link. If everyone will go to the Middlemen Talk Show page on Facebook, I will send you the direct link for where you can start your voting process.
I'm going to be honest with you. It was so easy. I found it the first time I looked at it. Jen, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, you know, maybe I'm not so, like, you know, site savvy as you.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
I even got one all year long, and you're just going to break my record like this so easily.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's sad. That's sad.
Really
next
sad.
Week, y'all. Tune in. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm done talking to you guys. As a matter of fact, you can vote right now. If you go ahead to the Middlemen Talk Show page, you can go ahead and vote right now. Don't forget, our man Dub G is voted for Best Mixtape DJ. I'm also voted for Hottest Male Vocalist. So just go ahead and get that voting. Vote or die. I'm just playing. I'm just playing.
And I'm out, man.
Good night, everybody.